Welcome to the Paleo View. I'm Stacey Topp. I lost 135 pounds and drastically improved my whole family's health adopting a paleo lifestyle. My husband Matt, who happens to be the producer of this podcast, and I blog our recipes, successes, and struggles at paleoparents.com. Matt and I have authored two cookbooks, Eat Like a Dinosaur, a family-friendly recipe and guidebook for kids, and the upcoming Beyond Bacon, which is a paleo recipe book respecting the whole hog, nose to tail, due out in hardback July 2nd, 2013. We have a passion for family-friendly meals that are practical, affordable, and sustainable to the earth, as well as our long-term health.
And I'm Sarah Ballantyne. I was a scientist before becoming a full-time stay-at-home mom and the blogger behind thepaleomom.com. I'm also the author of the upcoming book, The Paleo Approach, available for pre-order now off Amazon and due out September 28th, 2013. Both my blog and The Paleo Approach are heavily focused on the autoimmune protocol. I also blog about the practical application of the paleo diet and share wonderful recipes.
Next up, news and views, where Sarah and I catch up and you get to listen to our gossip.
So, but then you ate enough meat to make up for it, right?
Sure did.
Just perfect place for George, Brazilian Steakhouse. So I guess we just started the show because we've got to start with that. If everybody doesn't know, George is joining us this week on the podcast because he kind of moved in with us. So we figure we got to have him on the podcast.
Totally.
We were going to have Amy Kubel on to talk about blood sugar regulation, which we teased 2 weeks ago during the Skype fiasco. And poor Amy got laryngitis and can't be on the show this week. So that show will eventually happen. In the meantime, George happened to be here, so I just cornered him and said, hey, do this podcast.
I didn't, like, voluntarily, like, take over the house. I was invited. So
before, we loved having you, George.
Before everyone gets the ideas that cavemen just crash people's houses and steal their food, I wanted to be known that I was invited, and then I started stealing food.
So, I'm pretty sure within hours of your arrival, we've captured on film the thieving of food.
I don't know what you're talking about, but if you happen to check Instagram and see a funny-looking caveman fatigue eating Nikki's coconut butter out of a jar, that may or may not be me.
Or stealing kids' food.
No, that did not happen to me either.
I'm pretty sure that's recorded on Instagram as well.
I am going to invoke my Fifth Amendment right now and move on to the next question.
I will say, though, that the children, well, not Cole, because Cole has kind of had a tude, and he told me that he was too old to call you uncle, but Finn and Wes started calling you Uncle George and voluntarily shared their food with you, which is pretty special.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they didn't share any food with me.
Yeah. To be fair, although you were thieving it a little bit, you were also shared with, which is pretty special.
Listen, if your son wasn't dropping meat on my leg, I wouldn't have stuck my hand in the paleo kit's bag. But when he lost accountability for his food, I took the opening and attacked.
It's kind of risky.
Yeah, it happens.
So, George, what are you here for this week?
I was here for the book release party that Stacey
didn't want to talk about. This interview is so awkward when you're right here.
Oh, this is great. It's going to be a fun show because I can just make Stacey turn beet red.
And we're like standing, just so everybody has a visual, we should really like Instagram what we look like right now.
Instagram.
Oh, do that. I want to see it.
We're sitting at the treadmill desk like together. We have to share an ear set. And so like it's pretty tight quarters.
You're not both trying to walk at the same time.
No.
No, we thought about it.
No, we didn't.
I was trying to give me and Stacey some cool points, but I just lost them really quick.
Are you kidding? We both just ate so much meat we couldn't walk if we tried.
No, I do need to try this thing though to see if I'm gonna make the investment and go all dork out food blogger with my walking desk. But yeah, so I'm here
after doing it.
I flew out to support Stacy and Matt and Paleo Parents and Amy for the amazing book Beyond Bacon. So I flew out a couple days before to hang out with the boys and take a little mini vacay, and we've had an awesome time. The book release party was great. Because, hold on, I'm smiling for Instagram.
We just Instagrammed.
there were, what, like 200-something people there? That
225,
they
the restaurant said.
Yeah, 225 people in a location.
Were they counting them as they walked in the door, or were they just counting the people who, like...
I think they were counting transactions.
Yeah.
A few ideas, but I'm going to tell you right now that that restaurant shouldn't have had more than 40 people in it. So everybody...
like an intimate environment.
Everybody in the paleo community in the D.C. area now has an intimate relationship and are better friends than they thought they would ever be with most of the people they were bumping in line with, so... It was a great time. The food was delicious. The book release party went awesome. It was in a butcher shop, so you can't really go wrong. And we had an awesome time meeting everybody. And even though it was a little awkward signing Stacy's book, I made sure she didn't bite my head off first. So
you did the chivalrous thing of making me sign it first.
I did. I did send a few people away and said, you need Miss Stacy's signature before I put my Johnny Lee Stock in this beautiful book. So I was polite, but yeah, it was a great time, and even though the weather is killing me softly and slowly with the humidity here, I'm enjoying it, and it gave me a thunderstorm and a little bit of rain when we were at dinner, so it's a good time. We miss you, though, Sarah, by the way. You should have stayed longer.
Yeah, I had so much fun.
I think it's important you talk about, you know, being away from your kids.
I think everyone needs to know that Sarah really, like, went on the bungee jumping dive board here and left her kids for the first time and ended up having a great time. So we don't need to tell Sarah, your kids missed you, I'm sure, even though they told you they didn't on the phone.
They did. My youngest called me the second day to say, Mom, I just have to tell you something. I don't miss you at all.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Being in this house, I learned lots of new terminology. Like, I know not to wiggle when I waggle.
That was my kid too, who was having a temper tantrum and because she didn't want to wiggle her waggles away.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but I'm going to use it in my daily life when I run into some cranky adults, and I'm going to see where it gets me.
It's from a Raffi song.
Oh, see, Raffi, I only know, like, Down by the Sea and bay. All those fun, Down by the Bay. Yeah, see, as I became an adult, I've replaced bay with sea, so.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm just enjoying Justin Bieber and The Wanted with my children. I don't get the likes of Raffi.
And no, you don't get Raffi, but you make George read Skippy John Jones books in multiple languages to children that correct me in the vehicle. So,
yeah. My favorite part was when I was like, George, it doesn't matter what you say. He can't read. And then you just started to say random things and he's like, that's not what it says.
Setting me up for failure because the book's been read so many times that they know it. I couldn't even read Curious George to a 3-year-old. I couldn't sneak words in because he was pointing and telling me what things were.
Crocodile.
These paleo kids are too smart.
It was fun.
My kids did
great while I was gone, and then they like completely fell apart as I walked in the door. So clearly, I should have gone longer. I think they worked so hard to be okay with me being gone. And then I like came home and they were like, oh, okay, phew, if we don't have to try anymore. So we had like a lot of emotion today and a lot of like extra cuddles and attention. And
cuddles are always good though.
Yeah, no, it was good.
George got his fill of cuddles this week with Wesley, his new bud.
I do, yeah.
Wesley's cuddly.
Yeah, me and Wes are BFS now. I mean, only when he's Wesley, though. When he's Batman, I can't get anywhere near him.
Oh, see, I got to be Batgirl, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, I had to be the Joker.
You were the Joker. Russ was Robin. Russ got the shaft, though, man. He was kind of rude to Russ once Russ was wearing the Robin coat.
Luckily, that coat doesn't fit around my neck, and Russ was the sore loser on that one. So, by default, that's who got it.
Yeah, so for those who are wondering what the heck we're talking about, my child, who is 3 1/4, legitimately goes into full-on character. It's not even, like, a little bit pretend. It's pretty unique for his age. And he'll stay in character. He has voices for all of his character. I think we caught it on Instagram video, if people want to go check it out. I forget who shared it, but... he's pretty imaginative, and so when he was in Batman character, when Sarah, Russ, and George were all here this weekend, he went around telling everybody what characters they were, and at one point he decided that he needed to get everybody capes in addition to himself. So we have this one yellow cape that's decisively Robin's cape, and it's a child's cape. So Matt and I sport it sometimes, but it's incredibly uncomfortable, and George, not a very thin-necked person, kind of rejected the cape when upon delivery. Therefore, poor Russ, the domestic man, who was super excited to be Robin. He'd been hoping to be Robin and bond with Wes because George was stealing Wes all weekend. And immediately upon becoming Robin, was just, like, basically smacked in the face by Wes. Like, you know, do these chores for me, Robin.
I have to tell you, this is the most epic three-year-old I've ever met in my life. He stays in character longer than adults I know. I had, like, a 4.5-hour Batman session the other day, and this man did not break character once.
He's a method actor.
He has some serious talent ahead of him. It's like, you can't call him Wes. No, Batman. Batman. And then, God forbid that you actually say that you are Batman, and all hell breaks loose. It's a whole it's different ball game. Like, can I be Batman? No, you know Batman. You Joker. I was like, sorry, buddy. You know, it's good. It's a really good way to make a three-year-old angry, but he's got some skills, though. He's
serious about it. So, yeah, it's been fun. And, you know, their uncle moved to California, like, I don't know, 6 or something months ago. And so for them, I think it's been really nice and special to have somebody else to play with because Matt and I are boring and old and crusty parents. So we've been living it up with tons of like special food in the house, which we alluded to earlier. We made sure the house was stocked and I've just been living it up as we kind of overall celebrated as a family this weekend. And I took Friday off work. It's July 4th weekend. So between, you know, having the 4th off. Did I take Wednesday off too? No, I picked you up Wednesday evening. So I had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off. It's a super long weekend for us and just kind of relaxed for the first time in a while. And although we did marketing and book party and stuff like that, it didn't feel very stressful because it's done, it's over, and we just kind of got to sit back and relax and party. So
by the way, I'm so sorry if you can hear my cat meowing in the background.
No.
He brought me a toy. I think he wants me to play fetch. I have the weirdest cats.
Okay, talk about this. Yeah, like this could be beneficial to some cat people out there. You have a cat that wants to play fetch.
Yeah, like he brought me a toy, and I think he wants me to like throw it for him so he can play fetch. But then he just heard my husband is unloading the dishes, so now he thinks there might be food, so he's off to the kitchen. He's like the most. My cats both think they're dogs. They're, I don't know.
You can tell they live in a paleo household.
Clearly. So, yeah. So if anybody could hear my cat meowing like crazy in the background, I apologize.
So, Sarah, what kind of show did you stitch together last minute after we had to put Amy on hold? What are we going to put George on the hook for here?
Well, I kind of wanted to do something that was different than what we've had George do on the show before, but also you know, something that, George, I hope you feel like you can talk about exercise and the sort of connection between exercise and weight loss, that, you know, when some people are struggling with that. Does that sound like...
Yeah, of course. I can just talk about all the curls I did just putting 22 pounds of meat in my mouth at dinner. It was very efficient exercise.
I thought you were going to throw me under the yoga bus there. Dragging right. My happy ass to yoga this morning.
I did drag Stacey to yoga this morning. She was a little mad, but she had a good time. She even posted about it. I saw it on Facebook. She enjoyed it. She'll go back. We both got our butts whipped, though, because I was falling on my face right next to her, so... It was good. But
were you doing like a lot of arm balances or something?
Yeah, we did a lot of shoulder, opening up the shoulder girdle, a lot of shoulder mobility and a lot of core work today. And then just a little bit of some handstand practice and stuff. We went to our friend Seema's yoga class, who she's been working on with the same CrossFit gym, trying to get them, you know, strict handstand presses and some pretty good gnarly arm stand and handstand stuff. So, and hand balancing stuff. So, we got to do the progressions, and it was good. It definitely whipped my butt. So it was good. Stacey had a great time.
I did. And, you know, I think it's worth mentioning because we're going to talk about the show a little bit. But I think, you know, for people who are trying to lose weight, exercise can be kind of intimidating. I know for me, admittedly, I did not want to go to this yoga class because I know what Seema and Amy look like. And I know that they go every week. And I know that it's at a CrossFit box. And Seema's described it as intense yoga before. And it freaked me out to be, you know, going to something that I didn't know what was going to be there, who was going to be there, if I was going to look like a fool in any capacity. But George was pretty much like, hey, I want to go and you're my ride. So I didn't have a choice. And it ended up being fine, you know, and I felt there were certain things that I didn't feel great about that I wished I could do better. But I think everybody's like that, you know, it's like that's the point of going is you want to go and you want to do better and you want to improve every time. So and when I was done, the fact that I hadn't like quit halfway through and cried, which is what I want to do 90% of the time when I'm exercising, made me feel like I'd accomplished something rather than kind of, you know, not doing it and feeling like a failure. So,
there's actually, I was reading a study done, it was a few years ago now, that actually showed that when people are trying new exercise programs and they're trying to get into exercise, that the rate of people sort of sticking with it and actually incorporating it into their lives is much, much higher when they try yoga compared to other group exercise classes. And I mean, that just might be some, you know, some of the philosophies of yoga that are more compatible or less intimidating for people. There's something more approachable. It's sort of, it's a really easy type of exercise to really gradually work at. So it's really accessible for people who are really out of shape, and not that Stacey, you are like so strong. It's not, you're not out of shape, but if people are looking at trying to incorporate activity into their lives and they're really doing nothing, yoga is a really great place to start because it's really non-judgmental. At least if it should be. If you end up in a place that where you feel like you're being judged by your ability, then to find a different class. But
kick them in the shin.
Yeah, or do that.
Yeah,
and it's pretty scalable too. I mean, I don't like to scale because I mean that's part of my problem, right? Is I always want to do what the instructor's doing and be awesome. And like when I work out CrossFit, I want to do everything as prescribed, even if I end up taking a lot longer or, you know, I know it's going to be a lot harder. I want to try to push myself in that capacity. So, you know, I did almost everything, I think, the way I was supposed to in yoga.
I didn't.
You tried.
So everyone can just sit here and laugh at George. I will go in the center of the room next time. Yeah, I tried. It was hard, man. I was sore.
It was hard.
I was sore because, like, my first day here in the humidity from worlds of which we do not speak, I had to do a hero wad with Stacey. And let's just say that was not a pleasant experience. I couldn't breathe. Every time I opened my mouth, it was just, like, everything
fog going in.
Got just sucked out of it, and my lungs were just loaded with, like, fluid and heat, and it burned, and Miss Stacey over here was doing the same RX weight. So I will attest to your Sarah comment of Stacey being a beast. She kind of underestimates herself, but yeah, it's definitely not fun working on this humidity. I'm gonna look forward to my Southern California weather tomorrow where when I take a breath it's dry and it's not like I walk out the door and feel like I got out of a soaking wet sweat shower.
But you turn into a fried egg if you stay out there too long with the 115 degree heat.
That's right. I have a new car and there's air conditioning in it, so I'm gonna abuse that.
Work out in your car.
Yeah, I mean, I'll do it. It's all good. You know, we can make it happen. So, but yeah, I think that's a good point though, Sarah, too. One thing, you know, I don't think it's just yoga alone. One thing I try and do, since we're going to go into the fitness side of this and what I do, and everyone always wants to know about weight loss. So I obviously am an avid CrossFitter, but, I really just like to be functionally fit in all areas of my life. Like I don't want to just be really good at Olympic weightlifting or really good at pull-ups or really good at CrossFit or anything like that. I like to kind of incorporate and try new things. So a couple months ago, I went to Bikram yoga for the first time. This was actually the first time I've ever done yoga that wasn't Bikram.
Are you sure it wasn't just regular yoga in California heat?
Yes, yes. Because I was really upset because they told me it was supposed to be 105 degrees. And when I looked at the thermostat in the back of the room, it said 114.
Oh my gosh.
And I was the first one to open my mouth. And if any of you know, you're not supposed to talk in Bikram. So then I got put in my place by the instructor and like a little school child that had to go in the corner. So I just kind of sat there quietly and sweated miserably. But I also just like to do things just to kind of get out. Like I feel that I talk about this all the time, but I think adults always define things with guidelines because it's what we're taught to do. We have to kind of rationalize everything and kind of put it in its box for it to make sense. And that's something that I love about kids. And, you know, Mark Sisson's talked on this numerous times about the art of play. And I think just doing anything getting outside and climbing a tree, playing on a slack line, going for a walk, rolling down the hill with your kids, going to jump on trampolines, going to the pool with Stacy's boys and them yelling at you to flip off a diving board. All of it is just, it is all a form of exercise. It's just you finding which one that works best for you, and keeping a really eclectic mix is going to benefit you in the long run so much, because a lot of it's therapeutic on top of being beneficial on an exercise standpoint and on a body standpoint, you know, biologically, when you're changing and you're changing your diet and you're losing weight, it's all very beneficial. So I think no matter what you do, as long as you're doing things to keep the game switched up, that you'll be beneficial.
That's a great segue to Science with Sarah.
There you go. Get on with it, girl.
Almost like you knew it was coming.
I do have notes in front of me. I didn't have these last time, mainly because I forgot to open them.
I was going
to
say, you were given them last time.
It's easier when I'm standing next to you and I see you on Instagram on your phone.
Yep.
Wait, I didn't check. I didn't check that photo. Did you share it?
I did.
Oh, yeah. I think it's hashtag
there
awkward
is.
Or awkward photo or something.
Yeah, totally.
That's awesome. Oh, we should totally, too bad we don't have the bandwidth to actually video Skype these. Oh, well.
No.
all right, so Science with Sarah. Next segment is Science with Sarah, where I take a moment to explain the details and the whys. Science. So today for Science with Sarah, I actually thought that it might be good to just sort of talk generally about the benefits of exercise, because I think this is actually something that we haven't actually talked about that much on the show, which is kind of amazing to me, since it kind of sometimes feels like we've covered everything. So I just want to talk a little bit about exercise, because I think that a lot of people look at exercise as being just a way to lose weight, to burn calories, to build muscle and have, you know, beautiful bodies and sort of look at it as that type of tool. But I really like to think of exercise as our hormone regulators or hormone normalizers. And that is actually really the most important effect of exercise on health, is as a hormone regulator. And it affects not just the levels of hormones, but also the sensitivity of hormones and some really key hormones. Insulin is key. I mean, we talk about insulin all the time and insulin regulation, and exercise has a profound effect, not just on insulin levels and blood sugar levels, but also insulin sensitivity. Cortisol, the stress hormone, which we've talked about, you know, dozens of times probably by now. Physical activity is fantastic at regulating, again, not just the levels, but also the circadian rhythm that cortisol goes through, because cortisol is a really important signal for the body of what time of day it is. And it has this sort of natural rhythm throughout the day. And physical activity helps maintain that. Physical activity helps regulate the levels and sensitivity of leptin, and we've talked about leptin sensitivity on this show, because leptin is one of the key hunger hormones. And the other key hunger hormone, which is ghrelin, which is like an antagonistic hormone against leptin, it is also regulated by physical activity. And we've talked a lot about circadian rhythms on the show. Melatonin levels, again, and that circadian rhythm, that rhythm of expression throughout the day, is regulated by physical activity. Physical activity has very, very important positive effects for all of those hormones. It also is a really important regulator of the immune system. It is also a really important regulator of mood, and it directly affects several neurotransmitters. So, and there's also links between mood and other things, such as, you know, quality of sleep, hunger, appetite, ability to handle stressful situations. So in that sense, it's all interconnected. Getting physical activity decreases risk of cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, depression, and even some cancers. Like, it's just really important. It's so important that the World Health Organization has actually identified a sedentary lifestyle or the lack of physical activity as the fourth leading risk factor for mortality in the world.
Jeez.
And attribute a sedentary lifestyle to 3.2 million deaths per year globally. Yeah. So, you know, what George was sort of saying before we got into this segment about different types of exercise and just having fun, the most important thing is just movement. The most important thing when you're doing exercise is not being sedentary. So when the World Health Organization looks at exercise, even mild to moderate exercise, which means not sitting and not lying down, it really doesn't matter what you are doing. You can be, you know, puttering around in the garden. You can be walking at a very slow pace. You can be doing something that's more of a moderate exercise. It'd be something like walking at a faster pace, or swimming, or doing something like yoga. Those things are the things that are really highly correlated with good health. I don't think I mentioned that it improves your metabolism. It boosts your or improves your bone density. It can even reverse osteoporosis. It's really important, and it's really important to be active. And it doesn't actually matter what type of activity you are doing as long as you aren't sedentary, which is why so many of us bloggers are falling in love with treadmill desks, because they're not replacing exercise, but they're replacing sedentary time. So we can go into like more details about the exact effects of exercise. It gets very, very complicated when you start looking at exercise physiology, and because you have to break things down by type of exercise and duration. And we could probably do like 100 different Science with Sarah segments on that, you know, cover an entire graduate level course or two on the subject. But that's just sort of like the broad strokes. And really, it just comes down to not being sedentary.
Touché.
That's why you're going to try this thing out after being here 5 days. You'll give it a 10-minute go, right?
Yeah. Of course she's going to make me use it the day after I literally stick 5 pounds of meat and cheese and tapioca starch biscuits in my mouth.
You know what, George? I actually will sometimes purposely go on my tread desk and go a little bit faster than I normally would walking if I've eaten something and I don't feel well after, like generally if I've eaten like, you know, half a watermelon or something stupid. But yeah, that's...
Hold on, let's stop. let's just clarify for our readers that eating watermelon is never stupid.
I meant half a watermelon is a bit excessive.
Compared to other things people could be binging on?
True.
Let's put things in perspective now.
Thank you.
Good job, George, reminding people what the last podcast you were on was.
Thank you. Because I just put a lot of meat into perspective, and some people would call that bad. And it was not bad. It was nothing but amazing. So
now you're ready to walk on the tread desk.
Maybe when this thing's over. I have a little bit of work to do before I go to bed tonight. So I'll give it a go, and I'll put my little feet to the metal. My feet actually hurt. My toes are a little cut open from all the flips off the diving board with the boys.
Not with the boys, for the boys.
Sorry, for the boys. I was the pool entertainment for the day.
Not just even my boys. The whole freaking neighborhood was sitting around the deep end watching your flips and twists off the diving board. It's pretty cool.
That's me staying connected with my inner monkey and caveman.
Were you just... Do you normally dive like really funky dives, or are you just like
He's just full of awesome. He knows how to do everything.
I was just doing like 1.5s and double front flips, and I did a couple.
I was just doing 1.5s, Sarah.
That's like crazy. Yeah, I like just, can barely do like a regular dive without belly flopping.
Every year I get older, I strive to be younger. Like I really just want to be a little kid. So handstands are like my favorite thing in the world. I literally walk around my house doing handstands, and I want to get to the point where I can walk up and down my stairs doing handstands just to be able to do it. And I'm like, it's fun for me. And then there's like this indoor trampoline park near my house, and it's loaded with every 11 and 12 year old in the entire town. And I'm the 29 year old that's flipping over them, and their parents are staring at me like, whoa. And then I'm like, yeah, if your kid does that, I'm not responsible though. You signed a waiver and you dropped them off. So... But yeah, I don't know, I guess it's actually a good time to talk about it, because I really do enjoy just, like, really staying like lighthearted and fun about it. Like, I don't really ever flip about missing work. I mean, I used to be really, really structured. Like when I was training CrossFit and competing all the time, like, oh my God, I can't miss a workout. Oh my God, it's training day 27 and it's training day 36 and I have to eat this and I have to do this. And I mean, I would feel like absolute dog poop and I'm sitting here doing like 2 hour workouts and I was never happy. It was like a very monotonous and like sludging along kind of mentality. And it wasn't really fun for me. And yeah, I got stronger, but I never really enjoyed it. And it kind of devalued it to me. And I think that it should be enjoyed and should be fun. And movement and play is something that I really enjoy. So I stopped competing, you know, for injuries and a few other reasons. But now I don't stress about it. If I can't go to CrossFit, I literally do handstands in my house. Or I work on my strict press. Or I go in the backyard and play on the slack line that I put in my backyard. Or I'll go to the trampoline park. Or go for a run. Or go do sprints. Or go steal my friend's dog or their kids, whatever.
Fly across the country just to play with kids,
yeah,
for a few days.
I did fly to D.C. just to play with the kids to exercise because I couldn't CrossFit. So, I mean, you can take it to the extreme if you choose. That's just my personality. But, yeah, I just think it's really important to keep it into perspective. I mean, I know a lot of people are really intimidated, like Stacey talks about a lot, when it comes to exercise, especially like group exercise or really tight-knit communities like CrossFit or anything along those lines. It can be very intimidating, especially when you don't know. So I think it's just important to remember that we're literally, if you do it to have fun, it's going to relieve a lot of the pressure. Like for what it's worth, I mean, you wouldn't really know, but when I go CrossFit, 99% of the time I do the prescribed weight. I've been doing CrossFit for a while, so it's pretty easy for me, but most of the time I don't write my time on the boards because for me, it's not about, you know, if I beat someone else or if I do this. To me, it's about if I do it the best I can with the right form and for the right reasons. If I stop enjoying CrossFit, I'm going to stop doing it because I'm not in the mindset where I'm going to make myself go do something I don't enjoy anymore. And I'll move on to something else, whether it's mountain biking or road biking or yoga, which I got my butt whooped at today, or, you know, Pilates, if that case may be. I mean, I'll even jazzercise and whip up my suit.
Oh, no, what's the lady?
Oh, Prancercise. I will totally go start Prancercising if I have to.
If you guys don't know what that is, Monica's going to put a link in the show notes, and you have got to watch it.
Yes. Yes, and I, you know, I would describe it for you, but I will not do
it. You just can't do it, Justin.
Any valid justice. I won't even get in the same universe as the level of awesome that you're going to see when Monica links to this video. So, with that being said, I'll end on the note that, you know, if you are looking for a change in your fitness routine, then don't be afraid to try Prancercising. And if you do, even though this is not my podcast, please, please email the show and let them know about your experience. And pictures and videos.
I was going to say, videos welcome.
Are very welcome for social proof that you gave it a valiant effort.
Yeah, how do you top that one, sir?
You don't. I was going to say something about the importance of having fun. And
we got that covered.
Kind of cheap stress, but oh my goodness, that's great. I'm like crying. I'm laughing so hard.
Have you seen Prancercise? Because I know sometimes you don't know about these things.
I don't.
Oh, it's so sad for you.
Well, you know what I'm going to do.
Yes, you can't do it while we're recording, though, because the video is 6 minutes and 19 seconds long, if I remember. I may have watched it maybe 45, 50 times by now. Yep. Okay, so moving on from Prancercising, just for the sake of, because if people are listening to this, they're going to pause it. And please,
do it.
If you're driving, please do not watch it on your phone. Can you wait till you get to work or something? That's the disclaimer for paleo parents right now. You don't do it. Don't do it. Or you may have an overwhelming urge to park your car and Prancercise all the way to the office. So just don't do it. So, yeah, but fun, Sarah. That's a good segue. We can get back to fun now.
Yeah. Oh, wait. No.
Oh, I hear her voice.
Oh, my gosh.
I hear her voice. Shut it off because now I'm going to Prancercise.
Oh, okay. No, I will. It's muted.
Prancercise on the treadmill desk after this.
Just in case you were wondering, Sarah, that is the video.
That's the right video? Okay. Yeah. Excellent. I will watch this and we can watch it later. You know what? Just the thumbnail from the video is kind of funny.
It's pretty epic. All right. I think we have some questions.
Yeah, we've got some questions.
Good thing you guys stop me. Every time I'm on your show, I just start talking.
Yeah, at least this time I can elbow you if I need to.
Yeah, well, you haven't yet, so you've been too busy on Instagram.
I know. I'm posting photos of you.
Mm-hmm. It was a cute photo, though, by the way. Just saying. I went with a comb over today.
I saw that.
Yeah. I think I like the spike better.
I like the spike, too. I mean, you gotta experiment, though. I haven't had hair in, like, 9 years.
You gotta go with it.
I texted a few friends at home, and I was like, comb over or spike? And like, don't ever comb your hair over again.
I think it just needs to be longer.
And I was like, well, you took me to dinner last week, so I'm going to go with what you say. Because the food was good, and I didn't pay for it. Yes, win. No more comb over. I will spike for free dinner. Call it a day.
Questions?
Questions.
Questions and answers, where we answer questions submitted by you through the contact form on our websites, paleomom.com and paleoparents.com.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
So our first question is from Lauren from California. And she writes, hello, ladies. You're both so inspirational, lovely to listen to, and the podcast is a highlight of my week. Thank you, Lauren. I have a question regarding body composition and physique. I am an avid dancer and I hope to have a career in the profession. Unfortunately, my body is not in peak form yet, and I hope you have some advice for me. How can I achieve optimal leanness while staying paleo? I've played around with macro ratios, but don't really see a consistent pattern affecting my physique, lost inches, etc. I know that if I cut my calories unhealthily low, I could lose some inches, fat, and muscle. But I obviously want to be healthy in pursuit to be my ideal shape. What are your suggestions for a young female who is trying to shed excess fat, and it's the stubborn kind, but maintain muscle mass and energy levels? Thank you.
That's all you, science one, because I just went to rotate laundry.
George just said to me, you've got to take it off mute. Like I've never run a podcast before.
Stacey probably doesn't like me being here anymore.
Like, can we hurry up and finish?
Lauren, not to, like, down-regulate your question at all, but I just want you to know, I had to run and turn the laundry back on, and I prancer-sized to the dryer.
I thought it was Skippy John Jones.
No, there's no Skippy John Jones. I am not Pepito or whatever his name is. Okay, you can go first, Sarah.
I can go. George, we have you on the show so that you can go first. What are you talking about?
I go first every time.
Well, okay.
And by the way, it says hello, ladies. so, I'm okay with, being the girlfriend all the time, but I'm going to stick to my manlyhood on this one.
Okay, so I'll jump in. I guess, one of the things that we've mentioned before on the show, and I think that we should dive into a little bit because I don't think we've really mentioned it yet, is that, I heard Rob Wolf say this for about a year before it actually stuck in, so I'll try to say it in a way that maybe makes more sense for people more quickly, but you have to choose whether you're focusing on weight loss or health or physical movement, physical being, if you're interested in being a dancer, if you want to have a specific body composition, or if you're working towards, strength, or if you're working towards health. And we've talked about that a lot. I didn't do any sort of physical activity pretty much all of 2012 or about, no, 2013. No, that's this year. Oh my gosh. Can you tell us?
2011?
No, 2012, because I was recovering from adrenal fatigue. So I knew from the book Problems and blah, 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 basically from February through December, I could not do much of anything other than walk because I just was really trying to focus on my health and recovery. And then I started CrossFit in January when I felt my body was ready. And since then, I've taken on more things. I've started, I did yoga today on an off CrossFit day. I'm still going to CrossFit 3 times a week. I'm training for a 5K on my off days of CrossFit because I feel like my body is ready and willing, and I'm focusing on becoming fit. And for me, there's not a specific thing that I want to do. I'm not trying to lean out in a certain area. I'm not trying to, perform a certain function. I have goals that I would like to reach. I was telling George today, my next goal is to be able to deadlift 275. That's like a long-term goal that I want to have that doesn't affect my body. If I wanted to focus on body composition, I would not be focusing on lifting heavy because that's only kind of bulking me up more, at this point. But so I would say for however we're going to answer all these questions, people should really kind of think through that because it does matter. If you're going to focus on weight loss is completely different than focusing on performance is completely different from focusing on health. And sometimes they overlap and sometimes you get more than one, but you really need to pick one area and focus on it. So for those people who are really worried and focused on their health, don't take the answers to these performance questions and apply them to yourself because they're not going to apply to you. Do you have feelings about that, Sarah?
Yeah, generally I agree. I wanted to sort of talk with this question a little bit about the stress of how much activity that she is doing, training to be a professional dancer, and talk a little bit, like, I guess sort of helping her maybe pare down those goals, because you're right, like, you can't, you know, you can't be losing weight is going to be really, really hard to do while also improving her performance. And especially if she's not looking after the stress piece. And that's something that really sort of jumps out at me. When you're doing that kind of intense exercise, it's really strenuous on the body. And, you know, she mentions, we didn't read this part of the question on air, but she mentions that she's fairly low carbohydrate, and that may be because she's trying to lose weight. But the problem is that then if you're not eating enough carbohydrates to fuel your activity level, that creates stress in the body, which increases cortisol, which makes it harder to lose weight. It would also be disrupting her sleep quality, and just generally, you know, affecting her health negatively. And so when she talks about the weight being stubborn, like, I really wonder just what an effect the cortisol piece has. And in that sense, if she can deal with the stress, I mean, if her goal is sort of to manage the stress, the other stuff might fall into place without her really working on it. So, you know, if she just starts thinking about the stress that the exercise is doing on her body and what she needs to do to help her body recover, which means getting as much sleep as she possibly can, it means feeding her body enough nutrition to be able to, you know, recover and build muscle after, you know, she rips it apart with an intense, you know, class or whatever, you know, whatever else that she might be doing. It means also being really, really mindful to deal with psychological stressors in her life. So, you know, really working on having fun, which we've already talked about, and working on maybe like stress management techniques, like a meditative practice or something like that. Or there's a lot of sort of separate from doing something like mindful meditation, you could be doing something like diaphragmatic breathing, which kind of links into meditation, but it's also been shown in a lot of clinical trials to be really beneficial in regulating stress hormones. And I think that if she kind of just starts thinking about her health goals in terms of the stress on her body and just trying to mitigate the stress, that may make the other pieces fall into place. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It does. You use a lot of big words.
Sorry, George. I do that from time to time.
Diaphragmatic
breathing. Do you know what diaphragmatic breathing is, George?
No. Could you explain it to me?
Yeah. So the idea behind diaphragmatic breathing is that you use your diaphragm to open up your lungs rather than your chest muscles. So the way you do this, generally, I think it's easiest to do lying on the floor. You could have your legs straight or your knees up. You could have a pillow under your knees, something comfortable. And you put one hand on your chest and one hand on your abdomen. And then what you try and do is try and take slow, deep breaths, but try and make the hand on your chest not move and try and only use your abdominal muscles. So the idea is that you'll expand and contract your abdomen, which allows your diaphragm room to move without using your chest muscles. And it just completely changes the pattern of breathing. It's a very intentional and mindful, you really have to focus on that way of breathing. And they've done some clinical trials where sitting or lying down for 10 minutes and focusing on diaphragmatic breathing boosts the immune system, reduces stress. They've used it for some people in really high stress professions and shown that they have fewer sick days and fewer injuries because of doing this practice. And so it's a really, I mean, it's actually really hard. You're trying it right now, aren't you?
I saw him actually.
You tried it? It's quite challenging to breathe without using your chest muscle because it's sort of opposite to what you do automatically.
That's a really good answer. I now know exactly what that is.
There you go.
One of the to get kind of back to the question at hand, and I think this is something that I don't have a lot of knowledge of, mainly because I'm male. But a lot of times, and this is maybe something I'm going to ask you to harp on, Sarah, is a lot of times I run into females that are kind of going after that optimal leanness in their mind, you know, to fit the mold of a CrossFit female that they see on a
ballet dancer
or a ballet dancer or something like that. And I don't think a lot of women understand the associated risks that come along with being so lean and how truly unhealthy it is when it comes down to the point where, you know, you have a constant state of stress in your adrenals, you're losing your period, you have all these other side effects going down there just to achieve this optimal result that really doesn't define anything. It doesn't define performance or health at all. It's more of, a superficial
vanity.
Goal
yeah.
and vanity. So I think it would be important if you don't go science on Sarah on it, but just, you know, maybe mention a little bit of it and some of the other, I guess, symptoms and signs that could cause some issues with that.
Yeah, well, I want to jump in because that was kind of what I was going to mention, too, is that I really feel like Lauren could benefit from checking out Paleo for Women. We've actually had a whole podcast essentially around that topic before that Monica can link to, wherein, you know, we talk about the dangers and how hormone can affect the hormone dysregulation can negatively affect women's bodies, and that comes about from, you know, depriving yourself of things that your body thinks it needs. And if Lauren is truly eating a healthy, nutrient-rich diet that she feels satisfied and energized by, and she is, from what I'm seeing, 14 pounds above where she thinks she needs to be, that could be the 14 pounds of healthfulness that her body thinks that it needs for her to be healthy and fertile and sleep well and function and not be stressed and all the things that you talked about, Sarah, that mm-hmm. can come about from that extra weight loss. So I know that Stephanie from Paleo for Women has a ton of information on her site about this. And she herself, I think, has a background in dancing, which led to a lot of this kind of mentality, which then made her realize that she needed to eat more carbs and she needed to focus less on her body and more on health. And she looks amazing. Every time I see Stephanie, I think she's like some sort of ethereal goddess. But yeah, I just wanted to add my two cents in there.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean that she can't necessarily lose that weight and still be healthy, but sort of George's point of women wanting to be too thin, there are some real health risks associated with that. And the dominant one is interference with thyroid hormones and reproductive hormones. And it's because thyroid hormone, reproductive hormone, and stress hormone are all interconnected. So they all affect each other. And getting too lean is very, very stressful in the body. And actually being, you know, pushing the body routinely to excess, such as what elite athletes do. And I would put a professional dancer, I would probably put them in the same sort of category as an elite athlete, is actually been correlated with a bunch of health issues, mostly caused by a weakened immune system. So that sort of frequent, really intense workouts with not enough rest period in between has been shown to weaken the immune system. One of the classic is that you see in elite athletes, like Olympic athletes, is a greater susceptibility to upper respiratory tract infections. And that comes from the suppression of the immune system that results from their training. So things to look at would be things that would be showing that hormone imbalances are occurring, like what George mentioned, loss of periods or period irregularity, signs of your thyroid not necessarily doing great things for you. So that would be things like fatigue, hair falling out, brittle nails, dry skin, and then things sort of that are showing that the body is really under a lot of stress. So that would be things like not sleeping well, not waking up rested, having to pee in the middle of the night. I usually sort of say once is probably normal for many people, but twice or three times or four times is definitely not normal. What else? Keeping weight around the middle is a classic sign of increased cortisol levels. And that might be exactly what she's dealing with now if she's worried about her weight. And so really there's sort of like this perfect balance when you're training. You know, being sedentary, as we already talked about, is correlated with bad health. It's not good for you. Having lots of mild to moderate activity in your life is really, really good for you and is correlated with all kinds of health benefits. And then being really excessively active is bad for you again. And the International Society for Exercise and Immunology calls this like the U-shaped relationship between physical activity and susceptibility to disease. So basically, there's this like perfect balance. And it's not a surprise. You know, when we talk about health and we talk about diet, it's always, you know, there's always this like normal range. You know, you want your, you know, zinc or iodine levels or your, you know, vitamin A to be in a specific range and not enough, which is what we often talk about, is clearly a problem, but also too much is a problem. The body really wants everything to be in a pretty tight range. And that includes the things that we do to our body, like exercise, like training. So I don't know, George, do you think I answered your question well enough there?
Yes, you went science first.
Sorry.
No, I think
that's what I do.
No, I think it's good. I mean, it just doesn't sound the same coming from a man. You know, I can sit here and spit it all day, but as someone that can't really experience it, only just from friends and people.
I think it's even more powerful coming from you. I think women need to hear that a man is not as interested in a woman being,
No.
You know, 15 pounds away from her goal weight as he is in her being healthy.
Yeah, no. That's not what I meant. I meant more talking along the lines of like the side effects of being lean. Like,
yeah.
A lot of people, I get it all the time. You know, we've had obviously podcasts about body image and stuff, but just because I look a certain way, I kind of get, you know, lumped into this group of people or I'm assumed to be a certain way, but I'm definitely not tied to the amount of abs I have on my stomach because I have to be honest with you that sometimes when I've had eight of them or six of them, I do not feel good. Like, I just feel like crap. I walk around just exhausted. Doesn't matter if I'm eating carbs. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. Like, being that lean just doesn't feel great to me. Like, I don't sleep as good and everything. So I keep myself above that point. And I mean, it feels better for me. So I really try and just get people to understand that you can't really tie health, you know, on a sliding scale to the way that your body looks. It can be a little bit both either way. And yes, I love women for being women, not for what they look like. I take a sense of humor and a smile any day. So that's my one cheesy comment.
Aw,
now you have even more women who love you.
Ugh, I know. And I just posted a picture on IG and got him in a bunch of trouble. So
you guys are killing me.
All right. Question number two. You don't do it on purpose. That's why we, you know, like to squeeze you about it.
Do not squeeze me right now. I'm going to pop.
Oh, that's so sweet. That picture.
She just went on Instagram.
Aww.
Next question.
Next question. Right. I have a job to do. I forget. I was distracted by Instagram. Question number two.
Thank you for being distracted by my adorableness, though. I really appreciate that.
It's only my kids that do it.
It's the George kids combination.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll take that.
All right. Our next question is from Heather from Bethlehem, Georgia. And Heather writes, I have been placed on the lifestyle of paleo per my trainer. I have been pretty good with it for 3 months now, but I'm actually gaining weight, 10 pounds, and I am seeing a large waistline. I'm wondering if I'm eating too much of something or not enough. My caloric intake is around 2,000 calories a day. What would you recommend to take some of the bulk out of the belly? Did we just talk about stress?
We did. We sure did. You know, I think this is a really, I mean, you know this, you could probably write a dissertation on this question, Sarah, because we know we kind of do this every day and we realize how much actually goes into this and how many different variables this could be. But yeah, I think stress is actually one of the big ones, depending on what really goes on in people's life. Good sleep, great attitude, paleo butts. Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, weight training twice a week and doing a CrossFit WOD 4 to 5 times a week.
That's what I was just going to get to. So that is, I don't mind the coffee with the cream every morning either. I do my coffee and butter every morning, even in restaurants when waiters look at me like I'm crazy because I asked them to bring me a sign of butter this morning.
You and Jimmy Moore.
Yes, yes. I love
it. But if you're in a restaurant, you just stir it in?
I just stir it in. When I don't, I mean, like, I do carry a milk frother in my pocket most times, but I forgot to pack it for my trip to DC. No, I don't.
Because I was going to say, that's like so geekily awesome. All right.
No, I'm just...
Sarcasm doesn't translate.
Because I CrossFit, I can spin a fork and a cup really fast. So it's like I have a frother anyways. But yeah, that's what I was going to get to. So I guess the best way to do it is to use myself for an example. I was talking to... I don't know if it was Stacey or
it was
something.
Me.
I was talking to Stacey about this
earlier.
We spent
so much time together, I can't even remember.
Well, I talk to the boys a lot. They just don't listen the same. So... But I only CrossFit 3 times a week. You know, there's days that I'll go. Some days during the week I'll go 4 days a week. Some days I have gone 5, especially if it's lighter, not really strength-induced, more Metcon stuff, shorter stuff. Like, we've had a lot of 4-minute, 5-minute AMRAP stuff, and I'll go spend a lot of time doing some mobility.
You realize that 90% of our readers don't know half the terms you just
okay.
used.
Okay. I will, hey, maybe we can put some show notes.
I would say,
in
fact, 33% of the podcast hosts don't know all the terms you just used.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is when I CrossFit...
it's less intense.
When I go to CrossFit, I really focus on the way my body feels. So CrossFit, you know, by trade, you can have weeks that are done to load up and kind of really have a huge metabolic effect on you. So you'll have, you know, a 15-minute to maybe a 25 or 30-minute workout. That makes sense, right, Sarah?
Yeah.
And then you'll have other workouts that are really strength-based and really just meant to push you to your pretty much peak very quickly and only sustain it for 3 to 4 minutes. So those are a lot shorter workouts, but they're a lot higher intensity with lighter weight kind of thing. So I weigh those workouts differently. And I kind of gauge how I feel going on some of those. But the last couple of weeks, we've had a lot less intense workouts that have more been kind of strength bias, not so much metabolic, you know, not really elevated heart rate, not breathing heavy all the time kind of thing. So I've been going a little bit more. But I really prefer to do CrossFit 3 times a week and then spend 2 to 3 days doing anything else that's supplemental, whether it's yoga, whether it's literally just mobility, and getting my foam roller out or my yoga ball and really mashing my joints and working on shoulder mobility or hip mobility or my back or going for a walk or going to the park. And that's what I found works best for me, because I used to do the 6 days a week kind of thing when I was following strict training for trying to compete at all the competitions I was doing and all the other things. And I actually got the most strength gains and the best benefits for my body by doing it less, because I think people underestimate the toll that CrossFit can take on your body. You know, there's, I don't know the long, long word for it, but I find it all the time. A lot of people that start CrossFit and they kind of overdo it, and they have that mentality when they go into something that they have to be able to do it just like the coach and the other person in the gym, and they get rhabdo, which is, I don't know the big, long word for it, but it pretty much leads to liver failure from doing too much of one thing because you overload your muscles with acid and all these other fun things. But it actually happens a lot, and I think people just kind of need to understand that it's not the same as going to Globo Gym, you know, for 45 minutes to 2 hours and doing 3 sets of 15 at a really light weight or anything along those lines. So, I mean, you can kind of talk on the piece of how taxing that is to your system and your cortisol, which, you know, ties right back into stress. But now that I talked for 5 minutes about this, my first inclination would be that it sounds like it's a little bit of overtraining, and on the caloric piece of it, you know, we all know that the numbers really don't matter. The quality matters of what those are breaking down to be. And with 4 to 5 WODs a week on top of lifting weights separately, I mean, I could tell you that if you were doing numbers, that that probably wouldn't be a good number for that anyway. It's not enough, at least.
So What, Sarah?
Sorry, I was muted.
Oh,
you're cool.
I had some great things to say, though. Man, you missed it.
Well, you repeat.
Rhabdo is short for rhabdomyolysis.
That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, it's basically when your cortisol is so high that your body can't access stored body fat anymore, and so your body, once your glycogen stores are depleted, breaks down muscle.
That's what I was talking about.
And it's not good.
So, I would say the, you know, if she doesn't feel like she's overdoing it, because that's for every individual to say. I mean, I would have said a year ago that if my future self told me that I was CrossFitting 3 days a week, doing yoga on a Sunday, and going to do training for a 5K on my off days, that that would be too much. But I know my body and that it's okay for me. But if that's not, if someone feels like that's not a problem for them, then the only other thing I would say is that Heather's recently joined paleo and she's gaining weight with it. And perhaps Heather is adding a lot of, let's say, fat to her diet and not maybe removing some of the higher carbohydrate that was in her diet. Because no matter what, weight loss is related to a caloric deficit. I mean, yes, we need to regulate our hormones and we need to be physically active and we need to do these sort of things. But ultimately, in order to lose weight, there needs to be less calories in so that some can go out. So Heather might want to look at how she's eating. There's not a lot of information here about how she has a paleo diet or how much sleep she's getting. It just says paleo, good sleep. So perhaps she needs to sleep longer. If she's getting 8 hours, maybe try 9 or 10. If she's paleo, maybe she needs to reduce her nut intake. Maybe she needs to eat less dried fruit and paleo baked goods. If she's adding 2 tablespoons of butter to everything she's eating, maybe she needs to try to see if 1 tablespoon of butter is good enough for her to feel satisfied. You know, nobody wants to gain weight. At the same time, if she is training and lifting weights and wadding at CrossFit, you know, since I started in January, I have put on a couple of pounds, sadly to my chagrin, but all of my clothes fit exactly the same and it's muscle weight that I'm gaining. So it could be that Heather on her new paleo journey has added protein to her diet, reduced her carbohydrates and is working out and now she's gaining muscle. So, you know, these are all factors that we have no way of knowing reading this question, but there are a lot of different factors that go in. There are people who specialize in the internet to help, you know, with this, nutritionists and registered dietitians like Amy Kubal, Liz Wolf. Is she doing that still?
Stephanie Grunke.
Okay. So, you know, there are people that definitely, if she wants to go into detail with someone about what exactly she is eating and what they would suggest for optimizing her particular lifestyle, that's, you know, if she wants to get nitty gritty, that's where I would say to go next.
The other thing that sometimes happens when people first go paleo is if they had really extensive nutritional deficiencies before going paleo, their body will actually have like a initial reaction of putting on weight. And it's because you sort of go from nutritional deficiency to flooding your body with nutrition. And it kind of has this like reaction of like, oh my gosh, finally I have to keep hold of all of this just in case we don't have it again. And that really, you just kind of stick with what you're doing and wait it out. But talking to, you know, a registered dietitian who's got some training in paleo or a nutrition consultant will help kind of figure out whether or not you just need to kind of stick with what you're doing and let your body adjust and figure it out, whether you need to pull things back on probably the number of wads more so than the wad intensity, and whether or not you need to increase or decrease caloric intake. I mean, that's something that we've probably given her like more than enough ideas to try experimenting with herself, but eventually somebody who can actually sit and go through your entire history is also a good idea. So this question is from Kendra from Reno, Nevada. I've recently made a number of dietary and behavioral changes in my world. While I've been eating paleo for over 3 years, I've almost always maintained an 80-20 or 90-10 ratio of paleo to non-paleo choices. About a month ago, I noticed that my skin was terrible, and I was, for the first time ever, struggling to lose an extra 8 to 10 pounds I've been carrying around since the holidays. I went to see a naturopathic doctor regarding these concerns. Since this visit, I have incorporated and eliminated a variety of things and have some questions regarding the possible impact of those changes. I have started taking a variety of supplements prescribed by my naturopathic doctor, have eliminated eggs from my diet for 2 weeks now, and have steered clear from wheat, gluten, or barley, where in the past I would have had a cheat or two during the week with one of these ingredients. Within 48 hours, I noticed relief from symptoms I had accepted as normal for me. For example, 7 to 8 bowel movements per day, mental fog a few times per week, bumps or rash on my chest all the time, etc. However, I was wondering about other effects that I might not be as tuned into. For instance, following an intense workout, I am rarely sore the day of or the day after. It generally is around the 48-hour mark when I start feeling really sore. After my workout yesterday, I noticed muscle soreness starting around the 5 hours after my workout, and now, the day after, I'm quite sore. It was an intense CrossFit workout, so the muscle soreness makes sense. I'm curious, however, if the tendency to get sore sooner has anything to do with my recent dietary changes. If not, what are the variables that impact this? I love geeky science and adore your podcast. I learned so much since I started listening a few weeks ago. Thank you in advance for your time.
Sarah, I did the scientific research on this. Can I answer it?
Yes, please.
But I'm sure she's completely disappointed that I'm going to be answering this because she wanted your science-y geekiness.
She just wants – she didn't say specifically me. She just said she wanted science.
So I did some research and well, first of all, I want to tell Kendra that I think this is a good thing. So whether or not that influences how she perceives my response is up to her. But DOMS is like a delayed onset muscle soreness. So we're just going to refer to this as DOMS the rest of the time that we're talking. DOMS is actually not a really good thing. And from the science that I was reading, no one has scientific research hasn't been concluded to say what specifically is or isn't causing it or how to solve the problem, but that it has been linked to, in most cases, nutrient deficiencies that can lead to whether it's calcium, magnesium, or protein absorption due to the muscles that you're using in your body. If you have those deficiencies, it can actually cause the DOMS. So what was really interesting to me, first of all, is she said that she, you know, went to this naturopath and he helped her kind of figure out her food and that it moved the DOMS from being delayed onset to immediate onset, which is what you want. You want to be able to recover right away. If we were having delayed onset, then you can't do a workout and wait 4 days, 5 days to recover again because the onset is so delayed. So you want to feel it within, well, I'm sorry, George, didn't mean to poke you. You want to feel it within, you know, hours or a day or two of working out, not, you know, days later. So I would argue that this is actually a good thing and that it would be indicative of the fact that her body is now actually absorbing nutrients the way that it needs to be doing because her naturopath is helping her figure out what her food intolerances are. Further, the reason I ended up researching it is because it's something I'm interested in. It's something I actually experienced when I started CrossFit. And, I started taking Epsom salt soaks, which are high in magnesium, and it really helped me recover more quickly. And what I learned from that is that very common in celiacs and people that have problems such as me, magnesium deficiency is very common. And so I started taking a magnesium supplement and I started adding in more carbohydrates to my diet, which can also lead to DOMS. And between doing those two things, I recover so quickly and don't experience those problems anymore. I also take fermented cod liver oil on a regular basis, which helps with some of the other aspects of muscle recovery and cellular regeneration, so to speak. So I would say good on you, Kendra. Keep doing what you're doing and hoping, you know, hope it gets even better. Sarah and I just... I'm hoping you're high-fiving me and not choking
You just
me.
Nailed it. That was awesome. I didn't have to do any work for that, which is even awesomer.
I saw George nod his head, too.
Any awesomer. I like that. That's a very scientific word that I use.
I think awesomer is a great word.
Awesome sauce, as my mom would say.
Awesome. So I say boom sauce too.
Yeah, I know. You taught the kids.
I almost said, oh, I got the kids saying lots of stuff. The whole fandom's going to start being like a boss.
I know.
I got it. It's going to happen. I just want Wesley to be around with me because anytime I ask a question, he always says yes. And it's really like the best reassurance ever. And I want him to be like my mini business partner.
I told him he could borrow Wesley anytime he needs an ego boost. Wesley can just trail behind him all the time going, yeah, yeah.
And he does it in his Batman voice. It's so assertive. He's like, yes.
It's the cutest thing ever.
So I'll say yes to Stacey's comment too, because right on. I mean, I've been in Kendra's shoes as a CrossFitter, and I hate DOMS, and it hurts and it sucks. But I really find that the only time I get it, I mean, now it's almost like it's a trigger for my body, for me. When I feel it and I know it's coming or I get it, I realize that something is off that I'm doing. Like something in my routine's not working. I'm deficient in something that I need for my body, or I'm overtraining, and it's a really good inclination that you should really, I guess, attack it and go for a change, which is what she's already doing, which is great because that's who I run to crying when I have these issues. I go see my naturopath, Dr. John. I'm like, John! And he's like, it's okay. Sit down. Let's talk about your liver. What's not working? What are you doing? Why'd you drink so much coffee today? Why'd you do so much CrossFit? You know, and we kind of start working through it. But I do the same exact thing. So, I mean, it is a good thing that she's realized us and made it. And like I said, Stacey already nailed the science. So I'll just go with the layman's adult approach. So if you do experience it or you start experiencing it, don't wait until it's too late and you're already pushing yourself into DOMS and then past DOMS into adrenal fatigue from being stressed and then working out through that pain, because it's not going to make it any better. So listen to the triggers that your body tells you and address it at that time.
So do you guys have an answer for what would be the like widest window for normal muscle soreness?
I think you should feel it the same day, but you might be more sore like 1 to 2 days after.
You know what I find, Sarah? One of the biggest things for me is me and Stacey were actually talking about mobility in the car and proper like pre and post workout with mobility and stretching and that kind of thing. I normally don't get sore till the next day when I'm like kind of at my peak of what's going on. But I finish every workout and then I will do some sort of mobility to kind of open up or mash out my legs. Like I'll take a barbell if I'm doing heavy legs, and I'll take a 45-pound barbell and literally mash my legs, kind of like just being my own ART therapist. And it hurts, and it's not pleasant, but it makes a huge difference. And my soreness comes the next day, but it's not like the bad sore. It's like, oh, wow, I really, you know, like I told Stacey as soon as we got into yoga this morning, I was like, man, my ass hurts. And she, you know, a few people turned and looked at me, you know, I was like, well, it was a rough hero wad the other day. But, you know, soreness is a good thing. And it really depends on the aggressiveness of the workout, how beneficial it actually is if you're doing movements, like full range of motions. Like if you're in a CrossFit gym and you have some really good coaches, you're not going to freak out with some half range motion stuff because it's not going to fly. So if that's not something you're used to and you start doing, you know, excessive amounts of pull-ups or doing thrusters or anything along those lines that you're actually forced to use the entire pull motion or push motion of that muscle, you know, the impact of its pain and soreness is going to come differently, especially if it's not something you're used to. So I think it's different with everybody else, though. I mean, I mean, Stacey says she feels it immediately sometimes. I always feel it the next day. I tell you, every morning when I roll out of bed, it's like a whole other workout.
Oh, yeah. It's worse. I would say, Sarah asked what I would think a normal range would be. And sometimes when I work out, like walking out of the gym, I'll be like, oh, I'm going to feel that one tomorrow. You know, and I can tell that I'm already getting sore. And then, yes, it's usually the worst the next day. Honestly, though, I don't experience it all the time anymore. I mean, sometimes if we do a really intense thing, like, you know, although I did the prescribed weight on this hero wad that George is talking about, the women's prescribed weight was obviously much less than the men's. And I was lucky that it was a good weight for me. And so I didn't have the muscle soreness that Matt and George have been talking about all weekend, fortunately for me. So that's not to say that I would not say it's normal to feel that every single time you work out, because then I would say perhaps, you know, you might be overdoing it a little bit. If you're always really sore 1 to 2 days after, then it's going to be hard for your body to fully recover each time for you to go back. But yes, it's more, I think that you know, morning that you wake up out of bed and you've been stiff in your bed for a while and you wake up and get out, that's often the worst for me. The more I move around and the more that I do, like George was saying, you know, if you can foam roll out, if I have Matt trained really well to be able to give kind of deep tissue massage in areas that are rough for me, and that is really helpful too. So if you can do those kinds of things, it will definitely help.
Yeah, sounds good.
Is that a show?
Is that a show? Yay! Yeah, I think so.
Thanks for coming back on, George.
You're welcome. Thank you. I just got another marriage proposal via email. Thanks, Stacey.
You're welcome. I know. You got a couple via that photo I posted, too, even though I said, don't do it, ladies.
I think I'm actually just going to publicly post my ring size and see
who's the first one.
Pretty much impresses me the most.
Who gets the biggest diamond?
Yeah, pretty much whoever makes me a bacon ring first would actually always be the winner, because the diamond thing doesn't matter to
you
me.
You could have Wesley test them out.
Yes, I could. Yeah, we'll see. And I mean, if worse comes to worse, I'll just borrow Wes and go walk around town or the mall or the farmer's market. Maybe the farmer's market, though, because that way I get some like-minded people, you know, if I'm ever out there searching. So
just call yourself Uncle George and pick up the ladies that way.
Yeah, but like puppies are so last year. Like now you need adorable 3-year-olds to pretend they're Batman.
You going to wear a cape?
I totally wear a cape. I've been wearing pink stuff all week. Stacey does not like my current work attire now that I'm self-employed.
Pink tank tops.
You know,
we're going to the expensive restaurant. I'm like, George, are you going to change?
So if you come visit me and hang out with my kids, pink will fit right in, because you'll get asked, instead of capes, you'll get asked to wear tiaras and like feather boas and probably some butterfly wings.
I wore a tiara on stage at PaleoFX on my panel, just for the record, because I told them I would a year prior, and I didn't think they'd remember, and I walk in my panel, and they're holding a tiara on their hand for me.
So not lying, I saw it.
It's not.
Did you promise anything for next year that I should be prepared for?
No, I mean, it's not below me. I got no shame. I'll do it. I'll rock it all day.
No shame in wearing a tiara.
I'll teach the boys that pink is in, man. They're going to own it. Like, they'll get on it. Pink is a cool color.
Finn has a pink Justin Bieber sweatshirt. Yeah. If you were here in the wintertime, he'd be wearing it.
Don't know if I'd rock a pink Justin Bieber sweatshirt. maybe no. Like, I literally just contemplated it for like 3 seconds.
I saw it on your face. You were like, would I? Could I? Nope. Like,
that whole thought functioned through my body from head to toe, and it still returned a very positive note to that one. I think that would negate any cuteness that I want with the photos of your children. So for now, I'll stick to the faux hawk with the beard and the pink tank top and shorts that match. So
cool.
It's a good look.
Get it? You know, you just gotta own it. You know, Stacey's lucky she's not in California, because I work in my footed PJs and go out for coffee, and I'm in California. And you know, I get some funny looks when I have my skulls and pink guitars on my footed PJs and I walk in for coffee. And I've already Instagrammed this photo, so. If people don't believe me, go scroll through my Instagram. There's me in footed PJs going out for coffee.
Good for us. We brought the coffee in the house, so you don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, people... I'm surprised I don't get arrested just for being kind of creepy walking around in footed PJs in public. But, you know, it is what it is.
You have other qualities that make you less creepy, I guess?
It's eccentric.
I feel like you're waiting for me to...
No, I'm not fishing for a compliment. That is not my personality, even though you like to tell people it is. No. No.
George and I are nothing if not teasing each other like brothers and sisters.
Yeah, we're completely good. We're completely good. I'm confident enough in my manhood for Stacey to make fun of me like she constantly does. Mm-hmm. So that's all right. The boys pick me up. They're good.
And I just have to say, it is pretty constant. I have now been there for 48 hours.
Our banter?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's so much fun.
Yeah, it's good. We liked having you, Sarah. We miss you.
It would have been,
I don't know if this podcast would have got recorded if the three of us were in person, though.
No, it wouldn't have happened.
I've done a few of those before. They're not successful because I have the worst attention span of anyone.
So. Plus, all three of us wouldn't fit on the treadmill.
It's pretty awkward as it is. Please don't say there's room for her. He's looking around.
I don't know. Someone like would have to piggyback.
He's almost about to lose his earbud again because he moved an inch. It's like, ugh.
I had so much fun meeting you guys. It was really awesome.
We enjoyed meeting you too. I loved seeing your big smile the night of the release party, meeting all your fans at the party.
That was so much fun. I haven't had that experience before. I mean,
it was your first big gig.
It was my first, and I was like walking down the line, and people were like, "Are you Sarah?" And I was like, "Yeah, I am."
That's awesome. So, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was so much fun, and I don't foresee myself ever getting tired of that. So, nope. I mean, I reserve the right to change my mind, but I just
you won't. That's why you do it.
Yeah, no, it was so much fun, and I just loved talking with everybody and hanging out with people like I feel that I know, but I've never actually met. Like that was just cool. You guys are awesome. I love you guys too. Even more now. Whoever would have thought that was possible?
It's just a big love fest.
It's true.
Yeah, that's true. All right. We're going to call this a wrap, and we'll talk to you later. I got, limited time left to torture George before.
Oh, and I got to catch up from the lack of sleep.
Yeah, that means put your edit down, and go sleep.
Yeah,
You can't be a hypocrite. We just talked about stress and adrenal fatigue and cortisol. That's true.
I know it's time to sleep when I go cross-eyed.
Mm-hmm. And no electronics 30 minutes before bed, by the way.
She's probably got her melatonin glasses on.
Do you have your melatonin glasses on?
In all honesty, no.
Apparently we need to send you a parent.
But I am drinking my Natural Calm, so...
Well, there you go.
I'm getting there.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. And I hope everyone enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed chit-chatting.
Next week, everyone, is not going to be Amy Kubal. We'll have some surprise show for you next week, and then I think Amy will be on the following week. So
I think Stacy says surprise because we have no idea what it'll be.
Come on. I'm going to reveal my secret. We'll pull something out of a hat.
I was going to Instagram her face at that current moment, so everyone could see that there was no assurance on her face whatsoever.
If nothing else, Sarah and I know how to do a show by ourselves. Come on now.
It is your podcast. I would hope that you could exactly. do a show by yourself.
Cool. Have a good one.
Yeah. Good night.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Paleo View. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes. You can also support us by shopping for our favorite paleo products on the sidebars of our individual websites or by donating through PayPal.
I told her I was a secret fat kid.
Such a good role model for my children.